coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. It is Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. That's Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Hey, Ricky, thank you so much. You know, I have to say thank you. My wife and I enjoyed just a tremendous dinner. What's cooking tonight? What's cooking tonight? Tell your husband he's a lucky guy. You're a good cook. My goodness. HagmanReportLive.com. That's our site where you go to get the videos and audios. Today's all audio because with me is going to be momentarily is going to be Randy Taylor. He's an Intel analyst, Hagman Report Intel analyst, Randy Taylor. You saw him on, in studio last year, but, he was on Tuesday. He's going to be with me the entire program today. That's right. He's going to be with me the entire program today. And I'm thankful for that. But HagmanReport.com, there for show prep information, materials, and such. All right. So just to put that out there. Now, I'm adjusting my microphone. I have to apologize. If you hear a little bit of a twing or a twang or whatever, please excuse that. But a little bit of feedback right now. I'm going through the motions here. I just want to give a shout out to Jenny. Jenny, if you're right now, if you're jogging, if you're walking, if you're running, thank you so very much for taking me with you. Or actually taking Eric the Tech and I with you. And Randy too. Jenny from Inverness, Florida. Originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And have a great run, walk, jog, whatever it might be. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your emails. And I appreciate everyone who either sends an email or a note, a letter, card, memo. Thanks. Your input is important to me. Again, much appreciated. Now, you know what caught my attention? There's so much in the news, and Randy and I are going to dissect this. What you need to know. Because things are going to get really bad. Speaking of that, I spoke to Steve Quayle today. He wants me to, and I don't know how many people know this, but he had some eye surgery done here this week. I'm not going to get too specific. And he just wants me to extend to you his thanks for your prayers, your kind notes of support. All right. He's doing well. He's recovering. Steve Quayle had some eye surgery. Without getting too specific, but again, wanted me to pass along his thanks to each and every one of you. And you know what? This is just between you and I, guys and ladies. Go ahead and send him an email saying, get well. Go ahead. You know, you can just go to stevequayle.com and send him hey, just thinking about you. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. He's a good friend of mine. But I want you to think about something, opening up the program here. Before we get into anything, before I bring Randy on. Do you know what happened in June of this year, in 2020? When you look at the numbers available from the FBI, background checks conducted for weapons purchases in the United States, there were historic numbers. In other words, historic numbers of background checks to purchase or possess firearms were done this past June. Now, I want to take a moment here. Don't gloss over this fact. This trend is, when you look at this, it's almost difficult to comprehend. FBI numbers released this week showed that, now listen, 3.9 million background checks were conducted in June 2020. Think about that. Almost 4 million, 3.9 million background checks were conducted in June of 2020. That is the most since the system was created back in November of 1998. The previous monthly record came in March when 3.7 million checks were done. Remember me telling you about that? Now, here's another stat. That each week in June is now in the top 10 weeks for all background checks on record. So consider it this way. We're halfway through 2020. It's hard to believe, I know. Just over 19 million background checks have been completed, more than all of 2012. More than each of the years after 2012. And when you look at the, consider that background checks are the key barometer of gun sales, because that's at the low end. That's not counting, private sales, passing, that doesn't count any of that. Now, consider that each background check could also be for the sale of more than one firearm. And I guarantee you it is. You think we're gearing up for something? I do. Now, with Randy Taylor, and by the way, folks, follow him on Twitter. The link to his Twitter account will be at HagmanReportLive.com for today's broadcast. Open, just click on the link there, or click on the, go to HagmanReportLive.com, click on today's show, and in the program description box will be a link to his Twitter account. Follow him on Twitter. And while you're at it, follow me on Twitter too, and the Hagman Report, and Eric the Tech, and Lady the Studio Dog. She's got a Twitter account. She hasn't been very active. She's having trouble, you know, with her, the lack of having a thumb. But she does pretty well. And also, do me one additional favor, please. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you say, well, why would we do that? Because that, they're the enemy. Well, we're getting the message out. I've been getting emails from all across the world where we reach, and they're saying, hey, thanks. And I want to say thanks to people in New York City. Thanks for your kind comments, people from Iowa, Idaho, country in New Zealand, Australia. God bless you folks. The UK. That's just in the past couple of hours. Thank you so much for all of that. Now before, but while Randy Taylor is waiting in the background, in the green room, so to speak, watch this. Watch this. Well, for those who are looking at this on YouTube, yeah, there's more than just the radio feed. You'll see a video here. In this video, you probably saw this. This has gone viral. But use this as the gun sales are a barometer, or the background checks are a barometer of gun sales. This is a barometer of what is to come. Yeah, and I'm sure maybe you haven't, I don't know. There's a young woman by the name of Clara Janover. Maybe that name doesn't ring a bell, but she wanted to share just exactly how awake and how awake she is, and how she wanted to engage in virtue signaling, I believe, at least in my view, but she wanted to tell everyone her position on BLM, Black Lives Matter. So what she did was she used TikTok to record her video message, and she made a promise in this message. It's only, I don't know, 19 seconds, 18 seconds, I don't know how long. It's short. Let's take let's look at this and take a listen to it.
Next person who has the sheer nerve, the sheer entitled caucasity to say all lives matter, I'm gonna stab you. I'm gonna stab you. And while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'm gonna show you my paper cut and say, my cut matters too.
Yeah, you can't make this up. Now, she is a Harvard grad. She graduated from Harvard University. Isn't it interesting? There's one more video after that. You know what? I'm not even sure we have it. It doesn't matter. Where she's crying and saying, my video, it went viral. And because of it, the job fired me. Okay. The job fired me. I was in the pool. I was in the pool. All right. Randy Taylor, make some sense out of this. Hello? Is anybody there? Okay, people, talk amongst yourselves as we get this audio worked out. You have to unmute yourself. While we're waiting for Randy, are you there?
Yes, okay. I'm here.
All right. Would you press the mute button? What's wrong with you, man?
No. Right. No.
All right. I don't know whether you saw it or heard
it. A lot of it, I think, is the phone connection that I have.
Yeah, we have to get you, instead of the flip phone you have, we have to get you up to date.
Okay.
Edmund Burke. Now, you can't see this right now because Randy Taylor is actually broadcasting from a bunker deep below the Earth's surface at an undocumented location. But on the screen right now is this. It's your picture, actually two of you. I mean, you twice. And it says this, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke, of course, and it's got your Twitter. My goodness, where did you ever get that Twitter handle, Randy Taylor, but at Randy T-A, and then a bunch of numbers.
Well, that's one of those ones that got assigned to me.
All right. Well.
I was actually pretty new on Twitter when I can help him
change that.
Did you hear that?
Good.
Eric the Tech will come in and
perfect.
All right. You know, did you happen to hear the little tweak or twerp or whatever you call it? I don't even know. Twinkie?
Oh, the video of the young lady. Yeah, I saw that. It was yesterday or the day before yesterday initially, and I was actually really shocked. I just, the viciousness for a young lady. And I'm thinking, and she spoke well and everything. It wasn't ghetto talk or anything like that. She just came right out and was talking about stabbing people and while we were bleeding out. And I thought, you know, like if that was my daughter, I'd be ashamed of her.
Well, hey, she did.
But I really enjoyed the second video where she's whining because she lost her job.
Yeah, go figure. You know.
I know. But I just, you know what? We said it. The day before yesterday, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
That's the truth. That's the
you know, yeah. And that's just, you know, that for her to even say something like that, I am of the opinion that all lives matter. And every time I see on Twitter somebody starts with the Black Lives Matter, I have this little meme that I made up, and it's just a bunch of kids of different nationalities, and all it says is that all lives matter, and if you try and put one race in front of another race, you are a racist.
Right.
So yeah, anytime somebody says Black Lives Matter, I'm sorry, now when you try and elevate one race above another race.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Black Lives
Matter.
That's
really where I'm at. It's all lives matter or all no lives matter.
There you go.
It's all or nothing. And that's exactly like it is. And you know what? Oh, Doug, I'm pushing 60.
You're a youngin.
Racism, up until, I'm going to say, when Obama was in office, had gone away considerably, you know, quite a bit. I couldn't really see any, it really was non-existent. As far as, now take the, let's break that apart. In job opportunities, there was no discrimination.
If anything,
if anything, my friend, there was discrimination against Caucasians to make, you know, in order for them to make quotas. I experienced that.
So
losing a job, losing a job because of the fact that I guess that was my white privilege, you know, I don't know. I'm still a little lost on the white privilege thing. I don't think the people over there in South Africa right now are feeling any white privilege.
Yeah, are we allowed to talk about South Africa? I mean, no one talks about that.
No, but they're, I mean, they're, you know, we're talking about, you know, let's put hands together and sing Kumbaya. Well, that's the whole world, man. It isn't just about New York City. It's not just about California. We're talking about the world here.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because they want to, the New World Order wants to integrate all the populations anyway. So let's just talk about the whole world. I disagree with the BLM thing. I really do. And on the premise that you're trying to put one race above another. Do black lives matter? Absolutely.
All lives.
So do white lives.
Yep.
Chinese lives, you know, Asians,
yep.
Everybody. So stop with it. Just stop. Okay? How about just equality? Equal. And after, you know, back in the 60s, a lot of things were signed into law. You know, they got rid of it. And, yeah, Lincoln freed the slaves, but they kind of dropped the ball. All they did was free the slaves, but they, for a long time, treated them as second class, treated our black American brothers as second class citizens.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And I take an issue with that. Absolutely, 100% take an issue with that. I think Martin Luther King, you know, for all his faults, did a lot of good. You know, I mean, he wasn't exactly a shining angel, if anybody's actually done the research on the man, but his message was good.
Yes, and different.
And the way he, and the way he went about it was admirable.
Yep.
Think of, you know, they think the hoodlums in the street are talking about oppression. Think about the oppression that man went through.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? He never raised a fist in anger. He never shot anybody. You know what I'm saying? He didn't burn down stores. He was absolutely against that.
That's right.
You know, and so I'm sorry. It's lost. Oh, you know how any movement, you know, gets a certain amount of empathy or sympathy.
Yeah.
From the general population.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. This, by the way they're going about things, is where they're losing the support of the average American, I'm going to say. We'll just call them Average Joe. Okay? And Average Jolene. when you cross the line and you make it to where you're going to drag somebody out of a car, beat them up, and take their car or rob them, okay, you don't know who's in that car, if it's a left, a right, you know what I'm saying? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if they support you, if they're against you, or they're non-committal. But you're willing to pull them out of the car, beat them up, and take their car.
Sure.
You know, I don't think you're going to get a ton of sympathy with that. They certainly don't have mine.
Right. They don't have mine either, or yours. But, you know, they have the sympathy of a complicit press media, which...
Oh, yeah, which we talked about this, yes. What was it, Tuesday?
Tuesday, yep, we did.
We talked about Tuesday, the programming. And the programming is such now, you know, everybody screams about freedom of this, freedom of that. You realize that we've lost our freedom of speech. You know that.
Of course.
You know it sitting there, especially in the business you're in.
Yep.
You lost your freedom. You lost your freedom of speech. If you disagree with the masses, they'll turn on you. You are evil. You're a racist. You're a Nazi. Because you disagree, because you have an opinion.
Right.
And that, to me, also defies and removes sympathy on my part from your cause.
Yeah, precisely.
Because what if I believed in 80% of what you said, but I got a problem with the 20%? You're going to annihilate me over that 20% disagreement. You're not going to look at that, man, you know, I bought into 80% of what you're saying.
That's right. Exactly. And you know, that's a problem.
This is such a it's a convoluted mess is what it is. And what we have now, all right, let's go back to Bush's presidency. There wasn't a bunch of screaming about racial tension.
Before you go back to Bush's presidency, I don't know whether you heard me or not, but I just want to kind of finish the discrepancies, you know, the 80-20, the ideological differences. Just very, very quickly, okay, 3.9 million gun sales in the United States in June 2020.
I heard you say that. Okay. Background checks, yeah.
So we're at the point, and I'm going to just put a period after this, and we can go back to what you were saying about Bush, but we're at the point now where I think the social media companies have made it absolutely impossible for any kind of rational discussion between the two ideological differences. The press has done the same. The politicians have done the same. And that shows in those statistics. So once we're closed off from talking at a table to work out our differences, this is where it's headed. And that's all I'm going
to put. Well, you're heading to the street now.
Yep, that's exactly. And I believe that's where we're
at. Let's talk about that. When you see gun sales and those numbers, that should be alarming. That should be throwing red flags up to the government all over the place. That they're failing us.
Well,
the government is failing the people, and it's not because of the causes that are being screamed on the street right now. They're failing in law and order.
They're complicit,
and,
though.
I mean, nobody has gotten on TV and even addressed these people from a government standpoint. I do have a problem with Trump over this, okay? Why haven't we gotten on TV and talked to these people?
That's true.
I'm serious. If I was president, you know me, Doug, you've known me for years, I would absolutely have the famous fireside chat and try and reason with them.
Well, because compared to de-escalate, look, in law enforcement, in the type of work that we're both familiar with, you de-escalate a situation. The attempt to de-escalate.
Absolutely.
And I don't see
talk
any
them
of that.
Down.
That's right.
Yeah, you want to talk them down.
Yeah.
But now in the last, the problem that I had with the last president was, like when I said Bush's presidency, I was just using that for a time marker. But Obama and Eric Holder, in particular, the two men, not so much Jessica Lynch, but I'm going to say Obama and Eric Holder, you know, his wingman, I hold responsible for the hostilities that have escalated over the last about 10 years between law enforcement and the black community. I hold those two personally responsible because every time something happened, they automatically, without fail, immediately took the side of the hood. The criminal or whoever.
Yep.
When I say the hood, I'm talking about hoodlum, not the hood at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's pretty bad when the highest official in the United States, without even looking into it, jumps down the throat of a law enforcement officer.
Of course. And remember that infamous Spear Summit.
Yeah. And there were several incidents during Obama's presidency that I believe he mishandled. And it created a racial divide. And I'll throw one of my theories out there. And nobody's really been able to debunk me on this. But one of my theories was that was very intentional for Obama and Holder to create a racial divide during his presidency. And here's why. Obama was committing crimes. Okay? Gun running. Holder killing an American with a drone overseas, Benghazi, what he did to the incoming Trump administration, his dealings with ISIS. I mean, he can say he had nothing to do with it, and I know different. The experts know different. So what he did is he created a racial divide for one reason and one reason only. He's the first black president. If there's racial division, chances of him being investigated, indicted, or charged for anything gets pretty slim.
That's true.
Think about that.
Yeah.
If they were to today, right now, indict Barack Hussein Obama for, let's just say, something with ISIS, or the money sent to Iraq, something, okay? Or even, let's just go with the General Flynn thing, okay? What do you think would happen in the streets right now? No, I'm serious. You think George Floyd's death brought out protests? You'd have Los Angeles style riots in every city in the United States.
Yeah, exactly, and especially including D.C.
Obama. That's why, because I sat there and I thought about, okay, we have a black president, and of course, I remember all the horrible protests when he took office by all the Republicans. No. Anyway, but this president you're looking at, and you think, okay, he's in here for 8 years. Why didn't he mend race relations? Any little problems that were left? Because I'll be honest with you, when he went into office as an employer, as being in management, and all these jobs I've ever had, okay, from the economic standpoint, for sure, there wasn't a problem.
That's
with the,
right.
You know what I mean? As far as racial problems,
right?
If you were black and applied for a job, you got the job. If you were white and applied for the job, you got the job. The problem has been, and he only made it worse, was specifically between law enforcement and thugs.
That's right.
Okay, these aren't churchgoers. Okay, and pastors being mishandled at arrest time. Okay.
Good point.
They say, well, some politician got on, a black politician, and said, he was a mayor or something somewhere. Anyway, he was talking about if he didn't have his detail with him, his security detail, he would get harassed by the police. Oh, they'd stop me 5 or 6 times. One, that's a little exaggerated as far as I'm concerned.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Do black people get stopped probably more than white people? Yes. But it's in particular neighborhoods where there's particular crimes. And most of the time when they stop somebody, that person's got a rap sheet.
And the police officer
recognizes him. And that's what we pay police officers to do, investigate criminal activity. If you weren't breaking the law as a whole, you wouldn't be profiled.
If
nationwide in our country, and I'm going to say this just out of the blue, and I mean nothing against Asians at all, but let's say suddenly there was an Asian crime everywhere. Guess what? Asians would be profiled, stopped, and investigated.
That's right.
Same thing for white people. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you speak about this from the inside. Right. You've got inside information. So you know, I mean, operationally speaking, there's no, hey, these black, let's go get them.
I don't think ever, and I won't say ever. Yeah, are there bad cops? Yes, there's bad cops. There's bad DAs, there's lousy doctors, you know, in any trade, any profession, any industry, are there bad people? Yes. Should they be weeded out? Yes. The only thing I've seen out of all of this that I agree with is there should be a nationwide database for law enforcement. And if they have incidents, that needs to be in that database. Las Vegas, because he's had some problems, and he goes to Jacksonville, Florida, they need to have his record at their fingertips. I absolutely believe that. Because a lot of things slip through the crack. If you've got a cop that's got 19 incidents of violence against suspects, anyway, you know what? somebody needs to tell the union to shut up and we're firing this guy. That's my humble opinion.
And I paused there deliberately to, that's your humble opinion. And I think it's the majority of people's humble opinion, you know.
And all of us, you know, if we've done anything with, on a federal level, been in the military, anything like that, we're all in the NCIC computer.
Right.
Every police department is supposed to be actively participating with the NCIC. Okay, so as a citizen, you get pulled over on a New York turnpike, Doug, they've got your entire record within a minute. A lot of times they can pull it right up on the computer.
Yeah.
And I think police officers and law enforcement should be held to a very high standard, and absolutely that stuff should be available to any human resources department that's considering an officer, you know, for employment.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. Plain and simple, because obviously some things are slipping through the cracks. But is it a national emergency? No, I don't think so.
I agree with you on that. And that's...
I think it's probably slightly worse than doctors that are malpractice-type doctors.
Slightly worse?
You know what I mean? They're killing people too, Doug.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And probably at a higher rate than police officers killing black folks.
Well, yeah.
And the other thing, I'll say this because I was adopted. Okay.
All right.
I was fortunate. A mom and dad took me in. There was two people there. And my other siblings. A lot of these kids, 70%, this is some of the numbers I've seen, 70% of the households, the black households, don't have a father. And you know who said that? It was a black man.
But why is that? Not that we have to get into that level of Dixie, I love you, man.
That's your girlfriend, Barbara.
I'll tell you, Dixie is... Folks, just a minor digression here. Dixie is one of the greatest dogs you'll ever meet. I mean, she is just a,
I have to be careful saying her name anymore.
Baby, what?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I say the dog's name, then you think I put a red flag up in the front yard.
Well, what's the deal with her coming over with a Confederate flag on around her neck? I'm kidding.
I don't know, man.
I'm kidding. Oh, my goodness. But no, you're right.
And that is a problem. You know that. You see, even in other races, our race included, if the father figure isn't there, you know, half of the mentoring and adult authority in the house is gone.
Yep.
Mom can't keep track of everything by herself.
No.
You know, if we weren't supposed to have a mom and dad, then, you know, having babies would be a single-person process.
That's right. And sadly...
You know what I mean? It would just be like, oh, I'm just going to get pregnant. Okay, boom, there's a child.
Yes.
You know, God designed it that way for a reason. Even in the wild, look out in the wild, the male lioness, the female lioness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We won't use black widow spiders because she usually whacks the male after a certain amount of time, so...
I think that social
justice begins at home, not in the streets, man. We're not, look around, we're not solving anything.
No.
You know, we've strayed away from God. We strayed away from morals. People want the school to raise their children. You wonder why things are messed up. We're killing babies by the millions. Don't tell me Black Lives Matter that you give a damn. I'm sorry, I just swore. I apologize. Darn. You give a darn about black lives when you're sitting there and you're not going after Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
Because they execute more black babies every year than anyone.
Yep.
And that breaks my heart.
Yes.
That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. It's especially something close for me because I was adopted. I could have. I was born to a single mother. And think about my age and what the stigmas were back then.
Right.
You know, I could have been a backroom abortion. And that, you know, so to me, that's a very sensitive subject.
Well, but you're right in pointing this out. Yeah, you're right in pointing this out. You know, and of course, that goes into, look at the bigger picture. And folks, if it sounds like, you know, there's a kind of a struggle here in terms of the conversations because there's a lag in the audio. And I apologize for that. But look at the bigger picture here where you've got Planned Parenthood out there killing more unborn black children than you have of any other race. And yet Hillary Clinton and, you know, speaking so approvingly of Margaret Sanger. And of course, Bill Gates' father was involved in the Planned Parenthood operation. But think about these also, Randy, think about the satanic. And I do mean that literally, the satanic aspect of Planned Parenthood, where this to them is a religion, a belief system, and a sacrificial altar in addition to everything else. There's something, and combine the eugenics program of Sanger back in the early 20th century with the larger depopulation agendas, and then, you know, as you said, pointed out, and I'm gonna shut up here, but toss all of this on the table here. You know, we saw the angry female march after the Donald Trump inauguration, where, you know, they were all wearing those pink hats. Well, I mean, think about the mix there. You had Muslims with the LGBTQRXPI and whatever community, and just they were all angry. And so this convergence of utopian ideals, socialist utopian ideals, and that's where, to me, that's where it really began in earnest on that day where that march with women and this combination of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the eugenics promoters, the anti-family, anti-nuclear biblical family people. That was a display right there and a declaration of war against Donald Trump by the American people in the streets. That's just my view.
Oh, absolutely. Spitting right in the face of conservatism.
That's right. And everything conservative stands for. Yeah.
Yeah, the moral compass was of the left in the country was very, very visible during those protests. It's been visible since Trump's been in office. And it's one thing after another. You got a guy that these people just flat hate. And a lot of them hate him because, well, they really don't know why. They just know that's what the news channel told them to do.
Orange man, man.
Well, it is, and they'll, you know, Trump will do something, and oh, bad, you know, he did this, orange man bad, and then you look back, and Obama did the same thing, and Bush did the same thing, and Clinton did the same thing, but orange man bad.
And we've never seen the media parrot such, well, or not parrot, but even come up with such animosity. The media, this captured corporate mass media, they've declared war on Donald Trump as president and declared war on America, declared war on our flag, declared war on our values, declared war on everything that's good. So, yes.
They have declared war on Christianity.
Yes.
And that doesn't come as a surprise to any of us that have, you know, read our Bible cover to cover. But that's what they've declared war on, Douglas, on Christianity, on morals in general. Okay, now I'm not going to sit here and break down morals. Everybody's got their own set. Okay? I'm not the moral judge of, you know, you should do this, you should do that within a certain, you know, certain parameters. But I'm very concerned at what, you know, like the children, for instance, how are they supposed to function mentally when they know that they missed extermination in the womb on a whim?
That's powerful.
Yeah. Stop and think about that. You're finally 5 or 6 years old and starting to understand things a little bit, and you're watching the news and you're listening to the media and you're listening to these nut jobs, and you realize that if you're parents were having a bad month, you might have been history. And then you tell these same kids, don't kill other kids at school.
Think about that. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah, because what did you do to the value of human life to this child? He looks at it, and you know what? That human lives are no more important than what he sees in his video games.
And boy.
Because it could have happened to him.
Yep.
Or her.
Yep, or her.
And then you wonder why they go shoot up a school and think so little of everybody else's life. You know? And then, of course, as most liberals do, and the left, they blame the gun.
Of course.
The gun did it. The gun. Yeah, well, you know what? That's the typical blame game. And you see that in any incident there is once again. It's just like with the protests. It's because of this. It's because of that. Black Lives Matter is doing the same thing. Well, you know, it's because of this. No, how about looking deep inside and saying, wow, we, as a collective race, have some issues that we really should work out, and we shouldn't blame everybody else on the planet for it.
Yeah.
Clean up your act. If you're still being discriminated against, then come and talk to us. Bring it back out in the open.
In that
but
order,
a lot of this, Doug, can be cleaned up at home. It's not something for the streets. Tearing down statues, how does that make the average guy on the street, the average black American, okay, how does that make his life any better because you tore down a statue of General Lee? Really?
Well, exactly. And I,
how does it help? I mean, just because you remove symbols of history doesn't remove history. And I would leave the symbols up for one reason and one reason only. Okay? Well, actually, I'll say two. It is our history as a nation. Okay? Every nation has pain, you know, growing pains. Okay? And secondly, how about a reminder of what we don't want to do again?
There you go. Yeah.
That's the thing. How about a reminder? You know, when you that's so Taliban, that is so ISIS, that is so Nazi, that is so Marxist and Stalin to go and tear down statues.
Right.
And burn books and tell people they can't, you know what I mean? I just, the very thing that these people are screaming that they're being deprived of is what they're trying to bring on everybody. That's the part that floors me. You say you've been discriminated. You start tearing down this. I saw a statue of an elk.
Yes. Yes.
And I was sitting there, and you know, I was drinking my coffee this morning. I wasn't quite awake. And I'm looking, and I'm seeing this fire, and I didn't really see the elk at first. And I thought, well, what are they burning down? It must be, you know, Thomas Jefferson or something. And then I looked, and I said, wait a minute. It's an elk. So what did the elk do?
Well, yeah.
What did I miss in history class, man?
Yeah, I'm looking for that story, actually, right now.
Something got away from me, Doug. I don't know what it was.
Well, and this is in Portland.
I wanted to say something real quick while I got your radio audience here.
Okay.
Listen, yesterday I got called out on YouTube because I said God about 20 minutes into the broadcast Tuesday. Like, oh, God, or something like that. I did not take the Lord's name in vain by any stretch of the imagination, and I got called out on it. So I just want to say this, okay? I'm a Christian. I'm proud to be a Christian, but I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm fallible just like everybody else. And the good Lord reminds me every day that he still loves me. And I make my mistakes, and I acknowledge my mistakes. So I just wanted to get that out there in the open. So if I ever slip and say something, I'm a Christian. I'm also very human.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to say that for you because it is your show, and someone was, you know, like, I can't believe that Doug would have this guy. And then the guy went off on this rant on YouTube and went in the comments.
I think I missed that. We'll just call him
Dan.
Okay, yeah, I missed that. I apologize.
I was reading him, and I'm like, out of the whole show, which I know, I'm pretty sure I was on with Doug for an hour. That's all you got out of it. Okay. So anyway, yeah. Folks, forgive me in advance. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thanks for that. I must have missed something. I apologize
for it. I actually had to go back and listen to the broadcast to see what he's talking about. I was like, well, what?
Yeah. Well, but
anyway,
yes.
Some of the stuff I get pretty fired up about. I put a lot of time into protecting this country.
You have.
Above and beyond.
Yes.
And it's vested. I have a vested interest. And do I get angry? Yes, I get angry. I'm more your George Patton type. I used to be able to swear like a sailor. But at the same time, I'll get down on one knee and pray to the good Lord.
Well, we need a lot of that. We need a lot of knee time, and not in the Black Lives Matter sense, but a lot of knee time to pray for our country, pray for our leadership, and to pray for
every night. We do it every night at our table, at our dinner table.
That's right.
We pray for the leaders of all the countries. We need some divine intervention here, man.
Well, I think it's a spiritual battle. First and foremost.
Well, that, and then I'm also torn by what I've always believed was, when it comes to God, his part we cannot do. Our part he will not do.
That's profound.
When you think about that, I learned that as a little boy.
Repeat that. God's okay. Just to be clear, God's part we cannot do.
We cannot do his part. We cannot do. Our part, he will not do.
Profound.
And it's one of those things, if it's to be, it's up to me. I mean, you gotta, and that's where as a nation, we're always taught that, this is, I don't know what November holds, man. But I'm ready to roll either way. I hope everything's good. I hope it's, I hope Trump gets back into office. I hope that the next 4 years, more than anything, I hope that if Trump gets back into office, that we get the Senate and the Congress too. Senate being because I'll tell you right now, the way it's fractured, think about all the things that could have been done if it had been a Republican Congress.
And let me just interject this very quickly. A lot of people out there will blame President Trump for not doing something when in fact he does something or attempts to do something only to be blocked by Congress or by a renegade federal judge,
Yes.
So there's only so much Donald Trump can do, but you're right. And that's why people like Soros and others have waged war on taking back the Senate, remaining forceful in the House, and of course the federal judgeships, as well as the local leadership and local extended government, or state governments as well. So, the war's everywhere. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be, just what we're witnessing since they've been trying to get Trump out of office since Trump stepped in the office. Immediately, who was screaming that they were going to impeach him like day one? There was one of the Congress people,
yeah,
congresspersons, can't call them congressmen anymore, congresspersons. Who was it that was screaming? One of the gals?
Yeah, well, I know Pelosi was early on. I don't think that's who you're referring to. I don't recall who it was, but right away,
it was immediate. The tribe, or what do they call those clowns? Those three.
The squad.
The squad, yeah. Those. And you notice up here in Minneapolis, as crazy as it's been, Ilhan Omar hasn't said much of anything on Twitter.
Have you been following her, watching? Because I haven't seen.
Oh, I watch her like a hawk. There's a couple of them that I watch definitely like a hawk. There's certain people in the government that I can honestly say I despise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's many I dislike, but there's some that I despise because I feel they're completely anti-American.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they are traitors. I believe that they want to see America fall. I look at Ilhan Omar being one of those. That Rashid T-Lab or whatever her name is, that foul mouth. She is anti-American.
Of course.
These people openly support terrorist groups.
Yes.
And people that and these aren't like just some terrorist group that popped up in the last few years. We're talking about people that have killed numerous Americans, thousands of Americans, our civilians and our soldiers. And for you to sit there and say that, you know, some people did something, I don't understand some of the people and how they're getting into Congress. We've got somewhere in the southeast United States, Doug, we've got a congressman that's a convicted pedophile.
Of course, yes.
Why? I'm not understanding how these people are getting into public office.
Well, I think it's
shouldn't there be some sort of higher standard to a politician? You're supposed to be a leader. Well, I don't need a pedophile leader.
Look at the state of Florida.
I don't need a diaper sniper in Congress.
Diaper sniper.
That's something I don't need. We don't need it.
No.
It makes me sick to my stomach to think that individual is drawing a paycheck from the very government you pay taxes to. That this person would even have a voice in anything as far as legislation.
I know.
All of these people, it's disgusting. Minneapolis, we should have seen coming a long time ago, because Keith Ellison moved from Congress to being the Attorney General.
Yep.
So you knew trouble was coming. This was all, these riots and all were planned years ago.
Yep.
I'm telling you. People can say what they want. Keith Ellison should be wearing a number.
I agree with that.
Okay, absolutely. Without fail, that clown is as crooked as the day is long. He is a jihadist. He supports them. And you know what? This whole Minneapolis Somali thing, remember overseas, we were turning up Somalis like crazy in Africa, in the African Horn over there.
That's right.
That were from Minneapolis.
Yes, yes.
Recruiting them by the hundreds.
And the remainder of this hour and next hour, I'd like to get specific on that because, a couple of things. One thing in particular, when I was, I had some quiet time with my dog this morning. It sounds weird, but I mean, you know, we took a walk this morning and I was thinking about tonight and this show and such. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what were some of the most interesting and significant moments in your, research, your investigations, boots on the ground kind of stuff. And one of the things that came to my mind was, the infiltration. And along with the infiltration, I remember you saying one thing to me. And folks, this is so important. Please listen. I remember the night. I remember sitting in my chair and you saying, I'm done. And I said, what do you mean you're done? And you said, I'm done and I just can't do it anymore. And further, you said, I cannot tell the good guys from the bad anymore.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's a problem. And that speaks to both infiltration and other things. But with me is Randy Taylor. Folks, a finer man, I don't think you'll find. Randy Taylor, look on your screen there. And go to HagmanReportLive.com, click on the link to follow him on Twitter, riding with me. And next hour, this hour coming up, is going to be just information-packed. Tell others about this broadcast, HagmanReportLive.com. Going to be right back, stay right where we're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Radio.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. With me right now is Randy Taylor, analyst, intelligence analyst. If you look on your screen, you'll see Randy Taylor. What he looks like, what a handsome guy. Yeah. Or is it? Oh, we could be pulling a head fake on you. Who knows? But nonetheless, Randy Taylor is with me. And you talk about an analyst, and you talk about an investigator, somebody who's been in the field. And I'll just leave it at that. That's Randy Taylor. And I'm so proud to know him. He's a good friend, and he's an asset, not just to Hagman Report, but he's an asset to the United States of America. In my view, I believe that he is responsible for saving quite a few lives over the last, I can verify over the last decade plus. But anyway, this hour, it was interesting too. I'm going to just kind of swap subjects a little bit. You know, folks, Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested. Okay, now she, in case that name, well, who's that? Well, that's the British socialite Harris, who became a confidant of Jeffrey Epstein, was later accused of involvement in his alleged sexual crimes. Oh, that word, alleged. But we'll say that. And she's been arrested by the FBI. Apparently, they were having trouble finding her. She was arrested, actually, in New Hampshire. That's right, New Hampshire. I guess she was hiding out in New Hampshire. How did they do that? I wonder if she was... I just wonder if she was up there with Keith Hansen. Who knows? I say Keith, of course, Keith Hansen radio show on the Hagman Report Network. But nonetheless, by the way, she's the daughter of Robert Maxwell, and of course the one time girlfriend of Epstein, if you want to call her that, and the high flying socialite getting assets or people for the people like Prince Andrew. And by the way, if I was Prince Andrew right now, I would be a little bit concerned. And you know what else? If I was Ghislaine Maxwell, I would be looking at I'd be making sure my life insurance premiums are up to date. What do you think, Randy? I'm not sure if you heard that. What do you think, brother? What do you think about her arrest? And
oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's. I'm sure there's a noose with her name on it somewhere.
Yeah, it'd be a bed sheet. But yeah,
I mean, she really. I just the whole thing with Epstein and the highest profile prisoner in the United States at that time, and that he was able to be offed.
Well, you know,
according to the media reports, yeah, I don't know who to believe anymore. I'll go back to the statement where you're close now. Last hour, I don't know who's who anymore.
You know, and that's a sad thing to say. Who do you believe? And there's such a man. I'll tell you what. So much on social media is saying Epstein. Well, it ranges from Epstein's not dead to Epstein did not kill himself. That I believe. I believe that Epstein
did
not.
That I definitely believe. Yeah. I'll agree with you there. As far as whether he's alive or dead, I'll be honest with you. He might be sitting on the same island with Floyd and, drinking margaritas. I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah.
I don't know. The things that you and I used to think would be impossible, the conspiracies, the tinfoil stuff, you find out it's real.
Yes. Yes.
And then you sit there and you go, you know, because remember we were talking the other day about belief systems?
Yes.
And when someone alters your belief system or destroys it, or punches holes in it, man, your life changes. The way you look at everything changes.
Yes.
I'm serious.
And
I look at everything.
You know,
you put money in your kid's college fund, and then you sit there and you wonder, geez, are they ever going to get to go to college? Will I send them to the colleges? I've seen what the colleges have been turning out. You know, is that where I want them?
It used to be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole belief system gets messed up. You see things. I know back when I was in the military, you'll witness things in there. You'll experience things that will change your belief system.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And that's why so many of these young people coming out of the Middle East, you know, out of the wars there, why they have the PTSD, why they have difficulties. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you, since we're on this subject, we know on Tuesday we talked about going into Iraq in the 90s, you know, Desert Storm and Desert Shield. And then, of course, back after 2001. But so the other side of that coin, the same coin, are the men and women, sadly women, doing battle, coming back, having an entirely different, as you said, belief system, plus the trauma. Let's not turn away from the trauma created by the battles that they fought, because trauma, people will talk, and very quickly, people will talk about trauma-based mind control, which is a huge thing. MK Ultra government experimentation, as revealed by the Church Committee back in the 70s, verified by that. So there's a trauma-based mind control of our own soldiers coming back, of the combatants coming back. And we don't hear a lot of that. Well, we'll hear, well, you know, they're changed or whatever, but we don't hear about, was this part of the plan, or was this just simply exploited, kind of icing on the cake sort of thing? Go ahead.
It's hard to say. As far as, I think one of the things that a lot of veterans and all coming back, they feel abandonment. I think a lot of it is they don't like themselves for whatever they've done. And I also think that, was it, you know, set up that way? No, I just think that we don't treat them very well. I think we really need to work harder at taking care of our veterans.
Amen to that. Yep.
We're not, and they've always said you can judge a country by the way they treat their veterans. I think you can judge humanity, period, by how they treat their veterans. You know, these people will come back to hurting. And then people, I hear people say, well, you know, when I was in, I didn't get any PTSD. You know what? Everybody's got a different level. And you didn't necessarily experience exactly what that person experienced. You know what I mean? Yep. Everybody's elevator gets off at a different floor.
That's a good one. Yes, it does.
It is. You know, I mean, what I might find traumatic, you may say, well, you know, I've been through that before, and vice versa. You know, but we don't take very good care of our veterans. And one of the problems is a veteran, regardless of who's in office, if they've been abandoned and they're having trouble at the VA, they hate the current government.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know what I mean? It's like, because they're not being attended to. And I understand that. I absolutely 100% agree with their frustration. I don't think Trump's done far better with the VA, but it could be even better. You know what I mean? I like the fact that he's opening up where they can go to different doctors.
Yes.
But to me, that's critical. I know with injuries and things like that, they give them artificial limbs and all that, but the real injuries is in their mind. That's where it's at.
Yep.
And that's where it has to be dealt with. And I think that no holds barred, everything should be thrown out there to take care of the veterans. I think a larger portion of the budget should be allocated to taking care of veterans. Okay? They're the ones that gave us what we have today. They're the ones that preserved it. Our forefathers gave it to us. They helped preserve it. And what I don't want is, you know, anarchy sets in, there's chaos on November 4th, and some veterans get upset and decide to take shots at the White House or something, or government officials. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Because they're angry with the current government. You know,
yeah.
I'm really surprised when I see these generals and all speaking out against Trump. Like Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Well, Colin Powell, he really agitated me when he made the comments about Trump.
Well,
in fact, I responded to him on Twitter and reminded him about the aluminum tubes.
of which, folks, by the way,
which is a whole other show unto itself.
Yes.
But I went ahead, and then I noticed after that he didn't tweet another damn thing. He was quiet. He got quiet on the news. He got quiet everywhere.
And I'll say this, while people are responding to Colin Powell with memes and you know, stupid stuff, I'm sure those two words, aluminum tubes, you know, who is this guy?
Shut him right down.
Yeah, who is this guy? And for those who have no idea what Randy's talking about, just go ahead and search. I don't even know if you can find it. aluminum tubes and, or just, Colin Powell aluminum tubes or U.S. aluminum tubes.
Yeah. That is a show unto itself.
Exactly.
Buddy.
Exactly.
I don't know if you looked in your email. I shot you those photos we were talking about Tuesday. Nick Berg.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay.
So now the CIA can follow you around for a while.
Of course. Why not? let me see if there's any.
The one that tells the most is the one where the Middle Eastern guy is in the photo with him, and you look at how the guy's dressed. He's not dressed as Iraqis dress.
Okay, I'm seeing that.
He's more dressed. He's Uzbekistan, Northern Pakistan, Northern Afghanistan. That's more of the traditional garb there. So that picture was not taken in Iraq.
Right.
No way. And if it was, then why did my phone ring?
and folks, you can go back and listen to the Tuesday show for an explanation of that, the first segment there. Yeah, that's true. I'm looking at this. Wow.
Yeah, I thought I'd send them to you. You had them years ago, but Lord knows where you have them on an archive.
I don't know how you were able to grab it so quickly.
I have them. I've had them easily accessible for almost 20 years.
But you know, this is okay. So to relate to the people who are listening and watching this on YouTube or listening on YouTube, and this satellite radio and such, what does this tell you? I mean, what is this in the larger sense? What's this telling all of us? What should this be telling all of us by today's standards? It's part of how we got here, but it also says, man, you know what? We don't know what's flipping true and what's not, in a sense, you know?
No, and it made somebody nervous.
There it is, too. Yes.
Plain and simple, I'll never know who. Well, I hope I never know who face-to-face, but it made somebody nervous.
Knowing who face-to-face might just, in fact, be the last...
it might be the last facial encounter I have with anyone, if I even see him coming.
Yeah, if you ever see him coming, indeed.
Yeah, there lies the key there. But anyway, that's just, it's just glimpse, and it was kind of funny when I really started getting into the intelligence analysis and all after 9/11. I started seeing things and realizing things and realizing that we weren't really the good guys in white hats. Don't get me wrong. September 11th, September 12th, I wanted to bomb the Middle East. Don't get me wrong.
I want to bomb anything that moved. Yeah. Anything with a pulse. Yeah.
And looking for reasons to, that's why we brought up the aluminum tubes and all. I mean, you know, it was just privy to information that, you know, could help make those decisions. And I feel bad in some aspects because I gave that information to people in the government. And in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have. But what do? You know, I'm an American. I'm patriotic. Somebody just knocked down a couple buildings and killed 3,000 people.
Right.
You know, you almost go into that, like the T-shirt says, you know, kill them all, let God sort them out.
Yeah.
You know, because you're that angry.
Yep, yep.
I was just angry that somebody came into our country and killed 3,000 of our people. You know, so, and yes, I got on board because, once again, It's like when people say things to a soldier about, you know, you're a U.S. soldier, and you know, they'll pick at you. And it's like, you know what, I don't write policy. I enforce it.
As a soldier, that's right.
End of story.
Yeah.
So as an analyst and all, and I had various agencies coming to me because of people that I knew, they'd seen the information, they'd seen what I could produce, and a lot of agencies came to me and said, hey, you know, do you want to help us out? Well, of course I'm going to help you out. Because the flip side of the coin, all the information I gave them over all those years saved a lot of lives, saved a lot of U.S. soldiers' lives. I know in one particular case, two U.S. soldiers that were kidnapped, we were able to save lives. You know, you just had to, I guess you kind of had to take the good with the bad. But and then you go back and you look at it years later and you go, did I do the right thing? Well, I did what I had to do. At the time, I didn't know it was a right or wrong question. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I think to those people who are listening, thinking maybe they might be saying, well, what does this have to do with anything? I think what you're saying, not to justify the past, but I think, are we not finding ourselves in that very same position today? In a sense?
Oh, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, doctored information. Yeah. Fake news. Everything we're dealing with today, we can trace back the methodology. We can trace that back decades.
Yes.
In my lifetime. I'm sure, you know, probably further back than that. But that I can actually put my finger on. So if they were so willing to tell an outright lie in 2001, 2002, 2003, of course they're telling a bigger lie today. Because those lies and all the little things that we were involved in the Middle East and everything that's been going on, let's say you're the global cabal. Those were your short-term goals. Boom, 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 boom for the last 20 years. But they're all in pursuit of the long-term goal.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the lies they were telling to us back then had everything to do with what's going on today. And I hold, you know, the old man Bush responsible for a lot of that. I really do. His son was just doing what Daddy said.
Yep. Yep.
In the service. Now, he's the guy that's got to sleep at night. He's the guy that has to, you know, face God one day and justify what he's done. Well, good luck with that. I hope that since your last name begins with B, that by the time the good Lord gets to the T's, you know, he's got it out of his system.
It's a joke, folks.
Because he's going to be angry.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you can't, I don't know. It makes me sad. You know, when I look back in the lies that I know that I caught the government in, personally, on a personal level. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So that's why nothing today surprises me. Absolutely nothing. And people, you know, people say, oh, that's a conspiracy. Well, yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. It's a conspiracy. It's been going on for a long time.
By definition,
9/11.
Yeah.
9/11, there's components of that that I don't care what anybody says. Some people at different levels in our government, and I'm not talking about the whole United States government officially, because that's baloney, but some people at different levels in our government assisted those hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me any different. Just the fact that they were having drills that day for airplanes flying into buildings.
Of course. What are the odds, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that right there, you can talk to me about, you know, fake airplanes and all that. There's a lot of it I don't buy, but I will say this, without a shadow of a doubt, certain elements in our government, unofficially, were involved in 9/11.
That's a deep state.
Different.
No.
I've seen too much since then.
Exactly.
And I'm not talking what I saw on YouTube. I'll be honest with you, Doug. I really don't watch YouTube. I watch our segments. Right. Other than that, I don't buy into all the craziness that's on there, because I think half of those people are out in the left field anyway. Even the ones that are supposed to be conservative, I'm like, you're crazy, man. And so I don't buy into that. And I understand about, you know, thermite and this and that. I don't need to know any of that. All right. I need to know is that they were having drills on that day. What are the chances?
Yeah. or okay. to the listeners, or whatever it is, all you need to know. It's that point that you get to that you realize that you've been lied to. But yes.
Yeah. And then so once you're lied to, it's just like in a relationship. Once you're lied to the first time, what do you really believe after that? Every time this person talks, you think you're going to listen to them? Do I believe them? No.
Well, let's apply that. Everything that you've learned over the last couple of decades or throughout your life, especially, however, within the intelligence world, let's apply that to today. With this coronavirus or Communist Chinese Party virus, that's going to, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to, the second wave is coming, I can guarantee you, whether it's real
we'll
or not.
We'll be locked down. You're going to be not locked down on election day.
Yeah. So, okay, so
United States citizens, everybody that's listening right now on the radio, that you, and my fellow brethren here in the United States, we're going to be locked down. They want this mail-in voting.
Yep.
They want it badly.
Yep.
Okay, just the fact that they want it so badly, and they've got this little Fossey guy at their disposal, okay. We and it's terrible that we laugh about it in this house. We call it pandemic on demand.
Pandemic on demand. All right.
That's exactly what it is. Pandemic on demand. What do we want this week? Okay, let's do pandemic. Boom. Okay. Next week, we need some riots. Okay, riots. There's the riot button. You know what I'm saying? And you look through this. It's like you're talking about the cartoon with the little aliens. They're like, okay, we're up next. I don't know what's going. I mean, everything's bananas right now.
Yeah.
And all of this, the part that really concerns me, this isn't just going on in the United States. This is going on in the entire world trying to get rid of Donald Trump.
Who has that power?
And all the banks, your Rothschilds.
Banks. Yeah.
This is beyond Soros. Soros is a face that time will tell will disappear soon, or somebody will shoot the guy finally. Okay. Something will happen to Soros. And you know what, Doug? There's another one.
That's right.
Okay. We just haven't seen his name tag yet.
Yep.
It could be Soros's kid married to Clinton or grandkid or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's, mm-hmm. there's always going to be a Soros. It's beyond that though. And someone brought up the Rothschilds, okay? The Rothschilds, that's such a bizarre story unto itself, because you look at them, they finance both sides in every war.
Of course.
So they win. The countries that they went after in the Middle East didn't have a central bank that relies on the Rothschild banking system. You know, there's a lot of things, and people don't want to put this together. You know why, Doug? A lot of it, people look, and they don't want to know the truth.
I agree.
They just want to get through life and what's for dinner tonight. And I think we're going to plan as far as our vacation this year. And my 401k is doing okay. And that's it, man.
And wear a mask. You don't want to cause trouble. Go ahead, just wear a mask. Comply, will you? Because it's easier. And that way you can shop, get home, and we'll have the groceries. You know, let's acquiesce to whatever the demands are. I'm seeing a lot of that. And am I concerned?
This could have been I know this has got to do with the election, but it's also as a test to see how people will comply.
Yes. Absolutely.
That was a lot of it. The part that floors me is that they locked everybody down. Businesses went out of business. People had rent due.
Yep.
People lost their jobs because of a virus.
Yep.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah.
There's people right now that are in far worse financial condition than they were, you know, prior to this virus.
Believe me.
Myself being one.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
We as a group, yes.
The hit that I took is like, are you kidding me?
And people need to, everyone I've spoken to has been affected financially. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know anyone who has benefited from this, but I do know a lot of people like yourself who have experienced some severe
downturns. You don't know where the next mortgage payment's coming from.
Right.
You know, know, you sit there and you look at the coupons, you know, and what are we going to eat? And life is very, 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 very different than it was, say, like when you and I first met.
Yep.
You know, I had things, my financial thing was totally different. You know that.
Yes, I do.
Different world today, you know, yep. And I struggle week to week like everybody else out there. And I sit there and, but I also have an incredible faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do. I absolutely have faith in God.
And that's the difference between a lot of people and us. The other
well,
side
that's
of
the thing.
Us.
And I, you know what, Doug, he's never let me down.
Yep.
He never has. And on the flip side, he has so little of me.
Isn't that, did you,
you
hear
know,
that?
And I get so much in return. Good. And then, and that alone, I wish more people, you know, were of that mindset. That's faith, man.
Yep.
That's faith. I'm not going to worry about it. And it's like, you know, I told the family, so if we're all living in a tent, at least we're together.
And, you know, again, it's the component of faith, or it's the reliance on, or it's faith, period. Yeah. And you're
it's
right.
It's something. It's incredible. And then, you know, with recent injuries, you know, good luck finding a job.
That's true.
You know, we won't get into that. Okay. We're not going to put that on the radio audience, but, things are tough right now. But anyway, we still have faith in God, still have faith in my country as a whole.
Yep.
I just think that what we're seeing right now is just some really bad elements that are fueled by, and I'm going to say ignorance of facts. Ignorance. The problem I have with people today is they take everything at face value. Okay? Because the person on the television said it, they are like, and you know it if you ever engage in a conversation with someone that's a hardcore leftist, or most Democrats for that matter, if you say, hey, such and such, you're going to hear something almost verbatim off of CNN.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'll say, well, listen, you know, I'm willing to hear you out. What can you tell me exactly what you mean? Can you give me an instance?
Right.
You're a bot. You're a troll. It's like, come on, you called this guy. Have you noticed every symbol that Donald Trump comes out with now? It's a racist Nazi symbol.
Of course.
Have you seen that now? The t-shirts that he has with the flag and the eagle?
Yes.
Yeah, they've likened that to the eagle that was in the Third Reich.
Yeah.
But really? The eagle is an American symbol. It was an American symbol before there was a Hitler.
There's no winning here. I mean, yes, and there's, and sadly, some of the people on the so-called right, which isn't the right anymore, are pushing the same thing too. And this is all going to come. I guess this goes right back to where we started, and this is all going to resolve or be resolved, I think, in a manner that if it's not stopped, it's going to, in my view anyway, come out very badly, very poorly for the average person, average American, or for all Americans, but especially for, you know,
and
us.
The thing is, though, what you're saying is almost inevitable, because I don't know how you would stop it. This snowball is way past
right.
Positioning something at the bottom of the hill to stop it. This snowball is heading for that building called America.
Yep.
And it's going to demolish it. And I look at these Democrats and all, and I look at social media a lot, because that influences so many people. Like the little stupid girl with the knife, you know, I'm going to stab everybody. She was on social media. Why? Wow. It's a platform for idiots. Okay? But the point is, I don't know how to stop any of this. This is so far out of control. The only thing that's going to stop it is a shock.
Shock or
shock?
And
what I don't want to see, Doug, is a shock.
Okay, a shock. Okay. Yeah, I.
A shock, like boom.
Right.
Yeah. Not shot. Shock, like electrical.
Right.
It's going to take that to get everybody's collective attention. And that's what I don't want to see.
We are in the process of this, though.
The United States is the best country in the world, man.
Absolutely.
But it's systematically being taken apart by people that, for no better reason, just hate that it's so successful.
Okay, and think about that, folks, because I've known people. It's not good enough for them. I've known people where they succeed at something. I'm trying to think of an example. Let's say there's a group of adult softball teams, and one coach on one softball team, you know, he takes it all. He wins. But see, winning is not enough for that person or that team or that group of people. Not only must they win, they must destroy everyone else in addition to winning.
In the process.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what
and that's how they determine that they won.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and that's the sad part with this far left, far right has got, sooner or later, man, this has got to come to a head, and I think the head's November 4th.
And there it is. But I think, so, okay, and this, folks, this is where, to me, I believe, this is where we're really talking about actionable stuff. To you listening out there, well, what do we do? How do we prepare? What should we prepare? Is something coming? Mm-hmm. You damn well bet it's something coming. It's coming like a freight train. Okay, so, but do we know what is?
That's not light at the end of the tunnel, folks.
No, it's a train.
It's not daylight.
Yeah. So what's coming? Well, it could be one thing, or it could be a mixture of a lot of things. Oh, well, I hear on social, I hear news about a potential invasion of the continental United States by the Chinese, Russians, and hey, that's possible. Is it possible right now? I don't know. Kind of unlikely. Maybe it's not the right time. Is it biblically, does it jive with the biblical side of things? Prophetic? Yes. But is the timing right? I don't know. Probably need softening up more. So, yeah, is it going to be racial riots or riots based on racial lines? Yes. Is it going to be economic? Yes. Is it going to be ideological? Yes. Is it going to be religious? Absolutely. Is it going to be?
Oh, yes.
So it's going to be everything. But what's going to be that one thing? The fuse is already lit. I just don't know how long the fuse is, man. I don't know.
Yeah. And exactly how big the explosion is going to be.
Right. But I'll tell you what, it's going to leave a mark, and we're going to hear it.
Oh, yeah. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
No two ways about it. That's scary, and the part that scares me is it's not really like you can defuse it.
No. No.
I can't see anybody that could bring everybody together, and that's not against Trump. I'm not saying that. I don't care who is in charge.
Man.
Because... He's not. If he got up today and got on television and went to talk to all the people rioting out in the street and all that, that's immaterial, because those people that are out rioting in the streets were put up to it.
Absolutely.
So he could talk till he's blue in the face to Black Lives Matter. He could have them at the White House today for a lunch and a barbecue.
Beer summit, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't matter, because they are simply pawns in here. And the sad part is, the ones that are out in the street being stupid, getting arrested, getting shot, they don't even realize they're pawns. They actually think they have a purpose, that this is a good thing they're doing, and they're changed. The only thing you're changing, okay, is that piece of paper on the gurney at the hospital when the cops shoot you, okay, and you're bleeding. You're not changing anything. So this is not social justice. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, is it social justice?
No, not at all.
There's no, when I look, I turn on the TV or I go somewhere and I watch a video, and it's people crashing into a Walmart and stealing things, cleaning out the store. What does that have to do with social justice?
Well, of course. The only thing, it did nothing is the right answer, but then it's the perception, or no, not the perception. It's the push by the media, well, and the politicians, that well, they're acting out. You know, whatever that female politician or I can't remember who said to let them go because their rage is more important. Or
yeah, it's like a vent. We need to let them vent.
Exactly.
Well, nothing says social justice like a LG big screen TV
or a new pair of Nikes, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and the one guy made the joke that the only thing left at Walmart after the raid was suntan lotion and Father's Day cards. And I thought, you know, suntan lotion, that was kind of off color. But Father's Day cards went back and reiterated the point of the lack of the father role model.
And that's both, it's all races. That's against the society.
Anytime you walk away, I know everybody's into self-happiness. Well, you know, I have a right to be happy. Yes, you do. But when you bring a child into this world,
it changes everything.
You surrender some things.
Uh-huh.
And your happiness just might be one of those.
Right.
But that little creature that God gave you didn't have a say-so.
You
so
hit
don't
upon
make
this.
Them suffer.
Yeah, you hit upon this, and I think that's what. Also, we're talking about our future, and you know, it's interesting because I remember on Tuesday we were talking about this a little bit too. The people, and I think that this could be traced. Yeah, I saw a picture of young people, you know, teenagers to maybe in the 20s, lying prone on the streets in protest, underneath the picture was the caption, something to the effect of these were the children that were not disciplined or had no guidance as children, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And how true is that? It speaks to the larger problem, I think, that we're
facing. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It is. It's a big problem. And, you know, we've been getting it from all sides because a lot of the children that are coming up now, we were talking about there's like an age range where the almost said that communism and socialism and anti-U.S. sentiment was pumped into our learning institutions.
Yeah. Yep.
And so we're seeing the young adults, we're seeing the older adults that have now had children, and sure, they get it in school, but then you've got the parents reiterating and rearing the children in the method they were taught in college. That is a concern. That's a concern because every generation is another generation of future leaders.
And not to digress, but this also brings in to people say, well, why did LGBTQ, why did that activist agenda, why is that being pushed when it seems antithetical to the parallel Islamic Muslim kind of agenda and objectives? Well, notice the objectives for the LGBTQ, RST, whatever. They want to destroy the nuclear family, obviously.
Yes.
And by doing so, there's 50 plus genders or whatever. No, there's not. There's a man and a woman. There's a male and a female. There's a mother and a father, but not with not with that. No. There could be mommy and mommy, daddy and daddy. Who
Have
knows?
You notice your commercials certainly say that.
Yeah, yes.
On television.
Well, say what, though?
Well, daddy and daddy.
Yes, okay, yes.
Mommy and mommy. Tons of mixed race stuff.
Mixed race, yeah, which...
Tons of that, okay. Yeah. I think, too, homosexuality. And listen, you're homosexual. Cool, that's your business. I really, seriously, and Doug, you know how I feel about that.
Yep.
We've discussed that many times. That's under you. Don't put it in my face.
And okay. And
you
folks,
have
hold
to
off.
Answer for it, not me.
And I want to just save you and I want to save you and I a lot of grief. Look, there are some people out there who believe that, well, that's not biblical. So it's our, you know, it's our mission in life to fight that. That's not what Randy's saying. He's saying that's not, you know, you pick your battles. You pick. pick your battles.
That's not the hill I want to die on.
There you go. Thank you. So it's, yeah. And you're not agreeing with it. You're just saying, okay, let's put that aside, in the
time. Right. That's priority number 24 right now.
Right. Exactly. Thank you. So yeah. Save your emails. I don't want to sound.
And a lot of people are like, that would nothing to do with homosexuals, where I am of the opinion that they should be around you. Because if you're a Christian and you're doing things right, maybe that'll have some effect.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's like the people who say, well, I had a friend one time, and he went to this church in Florida, and he was telling me how the church kicked this lawyer out of the church. And I said, why did he kick the lawyer out? And he says, well, because he was representing a kid that had robbed a store, ran out of the store, got hit by a car, and was paralyzed from the waist down. And we don't want him in the church. And I told him, I said, you know, I love you, man, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Why did you kick him out of the church? You should have kept him in the church. That's where he needs to be. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, you know, we get, and that's when Christians get too high and mighty, and they get on a pedestal to where no one can touch them, I get a little upset with them, because we want more Christians. We want people to say, hey, you know what? That guy, he's a Christian. He's always smiling. He's always giving. He's always, you know, I just like being around him. You know what I'm saying? That's a positive thing.
We're ready.
And that's, I think, how Christians should be. We should be drawing people to us.
And thank
not,
you.
Not criticizing every little thing that somebody does. Like the guy that got on me yesterday about when I said, oh, God, on the air or whatever. You know, I mean, that scares people away.
Precisely. And
I want more Christians. If we had more Christians, I'd have a lot less problems in my world around me today.
Thank you. But let me toss this out to you, because in the larger scale, in the larger sense of things, what really bothered me, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's a website that there's a website that took me to task, and this website is a Christian website, or at least self-proclaimed Christian website, that took me to task for saying that, being proud of my ability to infiltrate as an investigator, to infiltrate by posing as someone I'm not, to infiltrate, we'll say, an investigative target to expose criminal activity. And I said that in the context of the Center for Medical Progress and Planned Parenthood. Because what the center, you see what I'm saying? The Center for Medical Progress exposed by their videos what Planned Parenthood was up to. I mean, just
the selling of the baby parts.
Right. So this Christian website, and this
took you to task over this?
Yes. Okay. So now again, maybe I'm a bad Christian. I don't know, with respect to that, but it's what you said earlier too. Is that, as a Christian, is that what really bothers you?
Is that what you got out of all this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, really? Yeah. So I'm thinking, well, maybe, I mean, I was well within, you know, in my time, my situation, I was well within my rights to do what I did. I mean, it was lawfully sanctioned and such, but as an undercover investigator and undercover operations, and you've been in the same position, you know, you're not going to go in and say, my name is, and I'm here to investigate you with regard to this criminal activity.
Oh, yeah,
how far
that'd go real far.
Yeah, yeah. It gets you dead. It gets you dead.
Just go ahead and surrender. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they'll be fine. They'll find you in a trunk somewhere, you know?
But, so they felt this person or this website took you to task just on that premise that you were dishonest about who you were.
I believe, because I'll tell you what, I read through it once, and after that I thought, you know what? I'm not going to reread it just to make sure I'm reading this accurately, because that's what I got out of the first read. And I never looked back. I never looked back, but I remember it because I'm thinking, if I'm understanding this correctly, this Christian is God's DA. God's district attorney, right. apparently, right? Or right. God's attorney general. I don't know. Right. Yeah. So, and Coach Dave Dobmeyer, God bless him, CoachDaveLive.com. Right. We were talking about different things, and he said, you know, I'm trying to find people to come together. Let's come together as a Christian. Can you imagine what we could do as Christians? We could change just if we showed up. We could change it based on the numbers alone. If we were cohesive as Christians and said, right. you know what? No. You're
exactly. not. And think about the message as Christians that we sent to the government. What if the government, Congress, Senate, and all were cohesive with Donald Trump? Think of what we could accomplish the last 3.5 years.
There it is. Yes.
There you go. Right?
And isn't it frustrating?
No, we're splitting. But what are we doing, Doug? We're splitting hairs.
We're fragging our Christians.
As Christians, we're splitting hairs.
Yes. Yes.
As far as I'm concerned,
as long as you, and I'll just say this, the only factor that would separate you from me is if you deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As a Christian, if you deny that, well, then we have nothing further to talk about.
Right.
But other than that, as long as you see the big picture, everything else is, we can work it out another time. We got other problems to, you know, tend to. All right.
But at the same time, though, if you were that person that you just described, I'm not going to sever ties with you.
Okay.
I'm still going to poke at you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to send you Christmas cards with little baby Jesus on there.
Right. Right.
I'm not going to fight with you.
No.
Absolutely not. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not going to force you into my religion.
But that makes...
I'm not going to threaten to kill you.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to sit here and point out every little thing that you did wrong just because that's my opinion. Keep your opinion to yourself.
Cool.
Okay? I'll answer to God one day. Every little thing I've done wrong in my life, and Doug, you know there's lots of them. Okay? You can't have my life and what I've done in my life and not have some things that I'm going to have to answer for. I know that. Most of them I've come to peace with.
Yeah.
Okay. And I strive extra hard every day to be a good person. Am I a perfect Christian? No, I'm not. You can talk with me 15 minutes on the phone, and no, I'm not the perfect Christian.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't jam it down people's throats. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I try and be pretty welcome to everybody.
And you know, you do. Look, you do a good job, and. Boy, I hope people understand when you say what you're saying. You know, I think they do. I think any person of normal sensibilities and the least bit of rational thinking would understand what you're saying and agree with you.
Yeah,
I really do. Because,
but I'm saved by faith. You know, I'm saved by God sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins.
There you go.
When I ask forgiveness for those sins, guess what? He forgave me. And I'm a new creature. It's just like the prisoner that's going to be executed. You know, I would love to be the last person that the prisoners talk to. You know why? I'd lead them to the Lord.
There you go.
And they can become a born-again Christian 15 minutes before that needle goes in. And God can forgive them for everything they've done. Now, they have to pay man's price. Yes, they do. You render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Okay? But they go to heaven.
Is it born again,
you know,
washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Absolutely.
You got it. Yeah. And that was God's covenant with man.
Yeah.
You had the Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament, totally different. God's new covenant with man, or covenant with man, period. You know, we went from eye for an eye to turn the other cheek. You know, there's a lot of differences in from the Old Testament to the New Testament, but that's because of God's divine intervention and His love.
That's right. Exactly. Yep.
End of story. And I just, at the same time, He could be a God of wrath.
Well, yes.
And I guess where we are in the last 15 minutes of the show here is we got to look at it and say, okay, what is enough?
Okay, when's enough enough in terms of what? You mean in terms of us taking...
Stepping in the United States and doing something about it.
Yeah,
what,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because I go back and I look at our forefathers. Every one of them paid a horrible price. People just assume the forefathers and their signatures on the documents and all that. And that's what a lot of people, that's all they know about it.
That's right.
If you look it up, how many of them were killed? How many of them lost everything they had? Destitute? Family members were killed? You know what I'm saying? They paid the ultimate price for this country.
You're never going to hear about that on the news, though.
No, you're not. Nobody's ever going to talk about it. They don't even teach it in the schools.
That's right.
Okay? Those were incredibly fantastic people. They're the people that gave us what we have today. But if you or I were to take up that mindset and step in their shoes, we would be criminals. We would be hunted down and killed.
But is it worth it? Yes.
That's the question.
Herein
lies the question. And Doug, that's a question that everybody that can hear our voices right now has to ask themselves.
Yeah.
Where is the line?
Man.
And I guess there's a little confusion with Christians. And I'll say this, I can say this as a Christian, is as you read different places in the Bible, I was reading in Revelations 13, and at one point it said, here is wisdom. Now, if I see something that says, here is wisdom, okay, I'm paying attention. that was, here is wisdom, stop, okay?
Yeah.
And it said basically, I don't have the Bible in front of me, but it said basically that if we live by the sword, we die by the sword. In the same breath, in the same verse. And I didn't really know how to take the verse because I'm looking at it and I'm saying, is it telling us as Christians, and here this is a question, I want everybody to think about this before I come back on the show again, and I'd really like to get some emails and some input, your thoughts. Are we supposed to just sit back and let prophecy take its place? Or are we supposed to stand up, defend the Lord's name, defend morals, defend morality, and weed out the evil? That's a heck of a dilemma.
Well, we cannot change prophecy, but we can delay it. Right? We can certainly.
But do we know, all right, Revelations 13? Am I living in Revelations 13 or is Revelations 13 start on December 7th?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And that one verse in 13 has bugged me no end. And I've researched and I've read and I'm looking for insights into that verse from. Even, you know, like theologians and pastors and things like that, I can't find it. Nobody touches that verse.
I would suspect that a lot of people will come to your aid, and I say that.
That's cool, and I'd really like to get, you know, the thoughts on that, because as Christians, it's a discussion.
And remember, it's a discussion.
We need to have that discussion amongst ourselves, amongst our family, amongst our friends, and in our churches.
Right. We do.
This is what God says for Christians, you know, to come together. There's a reason for that, because a Christian by himself is easy prey.
Yeah. Well, anyone.
Anyone by themselves is easy prey. So there's strength in numbers. There's safety in numbers. There's also knowledge in numbers.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I think that, in fact, you know what? I got my Bible right here, Doug. I'm going to pull that up real quick. So while I'm doing that, maybe.
All right. I'll just say that we're talking. I'm talking with Randy Taylor, analyst, terrorism expert, political analyst, editorialist, contributor. And I'll tell you what, he's a veteran. And he makes no bones about being a Christian, a patriot, and a fighter for the unborn as well. And
I'm not Peter. I will never deny the Lord.
There you go.
I won't do it. You can shoot me right in the forehead. That's fine with me. I'll just get to heaven a little faster. Okay, chapter chapter 13 and the verse is 18. Now, this is King James Version. That's all I've ever used. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Mm-hmm. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. But that's not the verse I'm looking for. I'm sorry, that's one I had highlighted. Okay, here it is. Let's go back to Revelation 13:10. Your listeners probably already heard this or already knew that. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That's the verse that bugs me. Think about that.
Well, okay.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He right. that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And we've been talking about faith for the last 2 hours.
In one form or another, yes, we have.
Yeah, but you look at that, and is that like, okay, do we just, it is what it is?
To me, and here's the short answer to that and from my okay. my perspective. From my, and I spoke with Pastor Langford at length about these kinds of things. To me, I think I think you had said this on Tuesday or something to the effect on Tuesday. Look, we were put here. Everyone that's listening to this broadcast, you and me, Randy Taylor, Doug Hagman, we were put here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think it's my belief personally that, you know, we are not to acquiesce or surrender without a fight. There's a fight between good and evil. It's a spiritual fight first and foremost, but it's resolved itself into the practical.
And that's where I'm at in the equation okay. too, buddy.
All right. So
that's exactly where I'm at. I just, that verse, I wonder if that is the complacency that we see in the population, especially among the Christians.
Well, and people will cite Romans chapter 13, especially with the, what do they call those, squad, or the oh my goodness, Eric the Tech. What are those, can you help me out with the FEMA camp people, Romans 13 believers, It's well, you know, we're not going to fight, and we have to surrender to a government. That's what the Bible tells us, and we surrender to the government. We're not going to fight, and the group of pastors and ministers who will say, "Lay down your weapons and just obey the government."
Exactly.
You know,
and you know they're out there.
Yes, in force. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Our churches aren't even what our churches used to be. It used to be...
Clergy response team, by the way. Clergy response team is what I was looking for. Thank you. Go ahead.
I grew up as a Baptist, and trust me, my pastors had a political opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They weren't afraid to share it with the congregation, and pretty much everybody in the congregation was unanimous with the pastor. We don't have that anymore.
We don't have any pastors, or we have a few pastors who are actually leading. You know, it's all touchy-feely, you know, everyone
yeah,
get along.
Yeah, the guy down in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a nice kid, he is.
Yeah.
But he's yeah. not a pastor.
Well,
he's not a pastor.
No.
I used to, when I went to church, Sunday morning when I was sitting in church, the way the pastor was talking, I thought he followed me around Saturday night. You know, when I was a kid, I was like, man, I didn't see him at all, but he knows everything I did last night. You know, yeah. that's the pastors I'm used to. This Joel Osteen, he's a nice kid. He is. But to me, he's in it for the money.
And that's the problem.
And that's where, and if you can be bought, you can be sold.
There it is.
Yeah. Plain and simple. If you don't get anything outside of the conversation, if you can be bought, you can be sold.
And I appreciate you bringing that up. And I think a lot of Christians today are basing, well, shall I say, yeah, I guess they're basing their actions on fraudulent doctrine. I don't know, perverted doctrine. Look,
it is perverted, yeah. And you also have people like the Pelosi's and Ted Lieu. That's someone that I just cannot stand.
Yep.
That are getting up and they quote Bible verses. And I'm sitting here, I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, okay, your priest won't even give you communion because you believe in abortion. But you're going to sit up here and recite Bible verses to me. And I don't even know if you really realize what they mean, what you're saying.
Well, it sounds good.
And God warned us of these people.
Sure he did.
He warned us of these people. But then all your little protesters are like, yeah, well, you know, you heard what Pelosi said. Well, this is God's work that we're doing. No.
I haven't heard any protesters say that. But then again, I'm sure there are some.
But that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And Ted Lieu, he just annoys me to death. Everything. These are the people that are the problem with the government because they have no intention of getting together with everybody and getting something done. The United States has suffered 3.5 years that it didn't have to.
And it's
it didn't
not
have to. We didn't have to go through all this.
And it's not because
if they had
of
got
Donald
together
Trump.
And worked with the president.
Yes.
We could do a lot of things. And you know what? You want rid of them? Fine. You wait till the next election and get rid of them.
Can you imagine if we would have done this during the Obama regime? Oh, my God.
That's what I said earlier about, do you remember all the riots and protests? No, I don't either. We're different. The GOP, the conservatives, we're a different animal. We're not out in the streets. Pray we don't have to come out in the streets.
But what will bring us out in the streets? I think people need to worry about that.
And that's really what these, let these little kids run around and be punks. That's fine. Don't make daddy come outside.
Yes.
You know, because I'll be honest, I mean, if I have to go down and, you know, never mind. I ain't going to go there.
Well, daddy's getting his shoes on. Yes.
I just hope somehow that some things get done. A lot of people are upset with Trump right now because of the lack of arrest and all that. People have to understand that stuff takes time. Donald Trump is not a king.
Right.
He still has to work with departments that are full of infiltrators.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he fired every infiltrator there was, the government would have shut down for probably 2 months while he's trying to find bodies to refill it.
And that's not
to
say
I would have done
plan.
Really different with Trump if I worked for him, is I would have gone through the history of everybody in every critical position in the government and probably fired most of them.
Can you imagine what the response would have been?
Yeah, I say gleefully.
Man. You know, I can't believe we're at the end of the program, actually. We've got a minute left, and it's
oh, wow,
been such
yeah,
a time.
2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say this to everybody. Listen, have a super Independence Day. Remember what it's about. It's not about barbecue. It's not about right. beer. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about the fireworks. Folks, it's about independence.
That's right.
Okay? God gave us the country. We need to preserve the country. And thank you to everybody out there for having me. And I want to say thank you for being patient with me. Because like I said, I'm not the typical radio host on a Christian radio broadcast, okay?
And
I'm working
I,
on it.
You know, so,
okay, I've been working on it for 50 years. But God still loves me. God loves you. And you know what? I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with anyone he is.
Amen, brother. And we with you as well. You're coming back again as we kind of break into, okay, kind of putting everything together, because I think now is the time to do it. Put everything
together.
Let's do
it. I'm happy. Do something next week.
Yeah, let's do it something next week indeed. I'll be talking with you. Randy Taylor, follow him on Twitter. Go to HagmanReportLive.com. Click on the link there to follow him on Twitter. God bless you, my friend. Have a great night. All right, folks, that'll do it for me. And the Hagman Report Live, HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com, and also HagmanStore.com for some great gourmet coffee. All right, HagmanStore.com. All right. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.